Alan Alda has been on a decades-long journey to discover new ways to help people communicate and relate to one another more effectively. His new book, If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face?, is a chronicle of how Alda found inspiration in everything from cutting-edge science to classic acting methods. His search began when he was host of PBS's Scientific American Frontiers, where he interviewed thousands of scientists and developed a knack for helping them communicate complex ideas in a way a wide audience could understand. And Alda wondered if those techniques held a clue to better communication for the rest of us. Whether we like it or not, science affects us all, and Alan Alda is here to help wipe that sweat from your brow, calm your nerves, and get beyond a blind date with science. Alan Alda is an actor, writer, and director. He has won 7 Emmy Awards, has received 3 Tony nominations, is an inductee of the Television Hall of Fame, and was nominated for an Academy Award for his role in The Aviator. Alda played Hawkeye Pierce on the classic TV program MASH, and his many films include Crimes and Misdemeanors, Everyone Says I Love You, Manhattan Murder Mystery, and Bridge of Spies. He will be at Proctor's Theater on Thursday night at 8 o'clock. The show is entitled Getting Beyond a Blind Date with Science, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Alan Alda to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
What, I assume this talk comes after writing the book and putting all of these thoughts together?
Well, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and it really led to the book, this book that came out in June, about ways that I've been exploring for the last, it could be like 25 years, to communicate better. And it really goes back to my earliest childhood memories of standing in the wings watching my father act on the stage. And because what I learned from that is what I think is the basis of good acting, which is connecting to the other performer, to have such a good connection that whatever they do affects you. So you don't say your next line because it's in the script. You say it because the other person makes you say it. They do something or they say something, and you're so tuned to them that there's a spontaneous reaction. And that's what I've come to find and or believe is the basis of really good communication. If you're not really tuned into the person you're trying to communicate with, you don't know if they're following you or not. You don't know if they disagree or if you're speaking in terms that they simply don't understand. You got to be able to, in a way, you have to be able to read their minds, not through mental telepathy, but through observation.
Right. You've spent so long working with scientists to communicate better. So I guess it's a natural progression to bring that to everyone to help communicate better.
Yeah, I got interested in communication because I saw that something was happening between us when I was doing the science show on public television. And what was happening was we had this connection, we had this channel between us, and something that seemed like real life was happening, and it didn't seem like a lecture. And that enabled the audience to follow what the scientist was saying better and to want to listen more because it was a human activity. It wasn't the scientist saying, eat your broccoli now, I'm going to tell you something you ought to know.
There's that idea that the relationship, I mean, you talk about this at the beginning of the book, which is relating is everything. That you have to make the impression that you know what you're talking about, right?
I think it's good to know what you're talking about. I don't know how, it's not, maybe, I don't know if it's the primary thing to know what I'm talking about. The primary thing, oddly enough, is to know what you're going through while I talk to you.
Mm.
And I have to be able to read that in you. And if I can't read it on your face, I'll read it in what I suppose you're thinking as I write a sentence for you. What does that prepare you to hear in the next sentence and that kind of thing? And it's that attention to the other person who's supposed to be doing all the listening, and you're really at a loss unless you're doing even more listening, reading body language and that kind of thing. And that's why I called the book, If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? Because too often the people are telling me things and it's clear from my face I don't know what they're talking about, and they just keep plunging right on, So I try not to make that mistake myself, and I try to help scientists and doctors and people in business not make the same mistake. We've trained, in the last 8 years, we've trained over 10,000 people.
You mentioned this earlier, but you talk about the skills and attitude that comedians and actors hone through improvisation. So how do we extrapolate that for everyone in developing those instincts?
Well, I think what you're pointing to is the unfortunate fact that we can't all go regularly to improvisation classes, which really build up this ability to connect with the other person. And they get you into the pleasure of connecting. But we can't all go to the improv classes, and not all improv classes are designed that way. Most improv is comedy improv, which is not what I'm talking about here. But there are things you can do. I practice all the time trying to read other people and connect with them and observe things about them that if I don't consciously do it, their face is just a blob to me. I mean, that may sound weird, but next time you're talking to somebody, look away for a minute and see if you can picture what color are their eyes, what shape are their eyebrows, are they wearing jewelry? Have you really been looking at them? And actually paying attention to them puts you a little bit more in contact with them, I found. At least it's true for me, and it's true for a lot of the people we've worked with. And it gives you the opportunity to build up your empathy a little bit. You get a little the more you're aware of other people, the more you're aware of what they're feeling, what they're going through, what their point of view is. And that's all empathy is. It's not feeling compassionate for them or sorry for them.
Right.
It's just knowing what they're going through.
But we do want to connect, and you're right about this. We want to connect emotionally, and we want to connect intellectually.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's possible to do better, no matter how good we are at it. It's a wonderful thing to see when we do workshops with scientists or doctors. It's just so satisfying to see them catch on to how much fun it is to be in a dynamic relationship with another person, and it has a real effect on doctors. That's important for their patients, because a study was done in, I think, in Boston that showed that when patients regard their doctors as having empathy, the patients are 19% more likely to follow the doctor's advice. Mm. That sounds like a lot of health is going on there.
What do you make of where we are right now? As I mentioned, and you mentioned, that you've been doing this a long time. We seem to be in a place, though, where science isn't taken as seriously as it should be when it comes to crucial issues. And of course, climate change comes to the top of the list, but there are many others. And I'm curious as to how we even get to that point of communicating better and understanding when, for some, if not many, there is an ambivalence or a distrust of science.
Yeah, I think there is a problem in that for many people now, science is just another opinion. And there's the idea that science tells you 1 year coffee is no good for you, and then a year later it tells you it's good for this or that, and they're back the next year saying, but on the other hand, so people say they can't make up their mind. And what's going on there, I think, is that there's not a really good understanding of the way science works. They're not coming up with the final answer for everything every time they do a study. They're trying to get closer to the truth, and it's not the truth for all time under all circumstances. And one of the things I'd love to see communicated better by scientists is not only descriptions of their work and what they're coming up with, what they're discovering, but a little bit more about how science actually works and why it can be trusted, and a description of the way scientists check one another out. You know, on climate change, it's very interesting that people, many people who just won't listen to anything about science, climate change, who are, I would say, climate change deniers, they've managed to get the name skeptics, climate change skeptics. But what that leaves out of consideration is that scientists are professional skeptics. They've already been skeptical about it before they tell you what their results have shown. And they submit it to other scientists who are also skeptical about it. And they check each other out. There's a long process before some results are published. And then in most cases, they don't say, this is it. This is it for all time. What they say is, this study suggests that. And you don't see that kind of language promoted too much in articles about new discoveries and new techniques. And more likely, you'll see a headline that says something like "new cancer cure," and the work doesn't necessarily show that. And sometimes it's only making healthier mice. But that. It's too alluring to go for the big headline, and it's not so good for the public. I think it's good for selling papers, for catching somebody's ear on radio or television, but it wouldn't be hard to just add a few phrases that indicate that science is a process, and it's not churning out the final answers on things.
You will be on stage at Proctor's Theater on Thursday night in An Evening with Alan Alda. The evening is entitled...
I wouldn't miss An Evening with Alan Alda.
So what can people expect?
Well, one of the things I want... You know, we've been talking a lot about science and medicine. One of the things that I love to bring people in on is the idea that these things that we've found working for the last 8 years, teaching people how to communicate better, it really works for everybody. It works for parents and children. It works for couples. It works in the workplace when you're asking for a raise or when you're telling somebody they can't have a raise. You know, it works on both sides of that equation. Communication is really important. Good communication is important, I think, anytime two people are talking. I don't know if I can think of an instance where being clear and being vivid about the way you're talking, making it certain that the other person is following you. I can't think of a situation where that isn't important.
Alan Alda will be at Proctor's Theater Thursday night. Getting Beyond a Blind Date with Science is the name of the program, and it takes place Thursday night at 8 o'clock at Proctor's Theater. You can find out more by going to proctors.org. Alan Alda's new book is called If I Understood You, Would I Have This Look on My Face? My Adventures in the Art and Science of Relating and Communicating. It's published by Random House. Alan Alda, a delight to have you on the program. Thank you very much. We look forward to having you in town.
Thank you. I had a good time talking with you. Thank you very much.
Again, Alan Alda at Proctor's Theater on Thursday night at 8 o'clock, proctors.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.